Okay. Can I mute my phone? Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that.
Oh, mute your phone. Yeah, I forget how. There should be a mute button.
Stop.
Or you can pick up the receiver and then put it down real quick.
That's the mean way.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry guys. All right, so.
Welcome to episode 169 of the PC Gamer Podcast for March 19th, 2009. Your host, Logan Decker, and with me today at an undisclosed location somewhere in South San Francisco, our reviews editor, Dan Stapleton.
I'll disclose the location for $5.
Whoa! Associate editor, Evan Lottie.
Hello.
Intern and chaiwala, Josh Augustine.
Why, hello.
And podcast producer, Andy Bauman.
What's a chaiwala?
Very good question.
Yeah, didn't I was going to ask the same thing.
What? Didn't you see any of you people see Slumdog Millionaire?
Oh, no.
Koala.
Duh.
Chihuahua.
Jeez.
Actually,
well, that's three does.
I have not seen it yet. It's on my Netflix queue.
Well, I just gave you a huge spoiler. Sorry. Today in the news, Far Cry 2 DLC hits Steam, Xenoclash gets a price slash, EVGAA debuts the coolest kind of library card, The Tale of the Accidental Alpha, Red Alert Redux, Garage Games parks the rights to Tribes, and shedding a little light on the darkest of days. But first, which PC manufacturer is kindly asking gamers to return its scary-looking PC because it might actually kill you? That would be Acer America, which is recalling Predator PCs as the result of two PCs short-circuiting and melting internal components in part of that fancy swing-open case. Now, this seems to be a very rare occurrence, and no injuries have been reported, and I have to say that I'm impressed that Acer is reacting so quickly on the basis of just two reports. The company is asking that anybody who purchased Predator model numbers ASG7200 or ASG7700, which you'll find printed on the bottom right-hand corner of the panel, the side panel of the system, to call Acer at 866-695-2237 or visit the company's website, perhaps not using the Predator, at www.acer.com.
How many of those do you think they sold?
You know, it's hard to say. I never did see sales numbers. They were pretty expensive.
Right.
But then again, high-end PCs are still selling fairly well.
Take that, economy.
Yeah. But yeah, apparently, yeah, there's some sort of short circuit, and things get very, very hot very, very quickly. And
do we know what part is freaking out and
they
frying
did things? Not say what part, but they did say it, nothing's happened in America so far.
USA.
The cloaking module fails, and he activates the self-destruct button.
So I guess just for reference, if you want to see our review of this one, it was in the Holiday 08 issue.
And, do you have that up? How much was that?
It was an 85%. The price was $2,200.
That wasn't bad at all. That's not very expensive for a machine that was as fast as it was. So if you have one, please turn it off very quickly. Call Acer. And they will take care of you. They'll ship it back and forth and repair it for you, fix whatever problem it is. But they did not say what part it was that was giving people the problem.
If it's a burn hazard, you got to think it's the power supply, right?
Yeah, it could be anything. Could be anything, any place where power travels along the entire motherboard or within the computer case. Mm-hmm. You know, any cord that maybe is crimped in a certain way, something like that. It's hard to say. A couple quick recession busters for you folks on Steam. The Far Cry 2 DLC is now available for $5. And Xenoclash is going to be 50% off if you pre-purchase the game in the next 24 hours before its debut in April. For less than $10. Of course, the next 24 hours is as of this recording, so if by the time you're hearing this, well, you may want to get on it right away if you want Xenoclash. After the 24-hour period, you'll still be able to buy it at a discount pre-purchase for 25% off.
Remind me what Xenoclash is.
It's actually going to be previewed in our June issue, which we're wrapping up right now.
Oh, is that Fish Guns?
That is Fish Guns and Dead Claw. It's a first-person brawler built on the...
Oh, I saw a thing about this. Engine. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the sort of the way we're referring to it, like the aesthetic and the graphics and the setting is really kind of crazy, but it's kind of like cave punk almost. It's
nice.
And it's really based on melee, like fighting.
Yeah,
right?
It's a first-person brawler. Yeah, yeah. You're doing combos. It's like a fighting game. Like even when you encounter new enemies, like a versus screen pops up and they have life bars and whatnot. And there's a few like handheld weapons and a few range weapons like fish guns and like this bone musket. So yeah, it's out of this sort of indie studio in Chile. And yeah, that'll be previewed in our June issue. Looking pretty good. It's a really aggressive move for them to discount it 50%. I know it's for a short period, but before it even comes out. So
yeah, that's
important. Well, I bet that has to do with you know how well Left 4 Dead did as you know when they discounted it by 50%. So they're probably trying to get like a super big bump in the initial sales. And also like this is more of a big splashy landing than they would have made if they had just released it.
Yeah, sure.
You know, you get more attention. I mean, we're mentioning it. We probably wouldn't have mentioned, you know, if it just came out, but they got everybody talking about it by doing this.
Yeah. So. And I like Cave Punk. That's really nice.
It honestly looks really good. Like the engine, whatever they're using, like the artist deck is very bright, very lively. It almost looks like you're in a Dr. Seuss book, but it's more sinister. There's a lot of just strange looking characters you're fighting, like elephant men and people that look like toucans, basically. And I mean, you really do want to punch those people. Like it kind of comes naturally, I think.
Sure, sure, absolutely.
How does it play though?
Really, sorry, you don't need to say anything beyond fish guns.
I mean, yeah.
Right there. Oh yeah. Dual wielded fish guns. Oh. Yeah.
Amazing.
I could say it's off the scales again, but I'm just gonna go right off into our next story, which is a incredibly sweet deal from the propeller heads over at EVGA. The company is giving gamers the opportunity to sign up to receive a product to try out and test for free for 2 weeks. All you have to do is pay for shipping the card or the mother or the product to the next lucky dog on the list. You can sign up at www.evga.com, but be aware that EVGA will be randomly selecting participants, and you'll also be asked to post your comments about the product on the company's website. Right now, they've got two programs going on. One is for they're offering signups for NVIDIA's GeForce 3D Vision glasses, which includes the Samsung 120 megahertz display, which you need, as well as another program that's passing around its Intel X58 chipset-based classified limited edition motherboard.
That kind of thing makes sense to do with accessories, but with a motherboard, really? I mean, they're
yeah, that's
yeah, because you have to have the right CPU, RAM, and video cards in order to test it out. So
yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, video cards could probably handle any PCIe video card, but
yeah.
but
odds that you're going to have the RAM already is pretty remote.
Yeah,
whereas it's perfect. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, you need DDR3 for it.
Yeah, and if you have that, you probably already have an X58 motherboard you're pretty happy with. But this is perfect for the 3D vision glasses, because if you use it and you get used to it, you know, that's a lot more compelling than anything you'd read on a, you know, tear sheet saying, oh, yes, experience everything in glamorous 3D.
Yeah, you know, I'd also be really worried if I were them about people damaging it, especially with the motherboard. People pulling their chips, you know, putting their chip in, pulling it out, and sending it to the next guy who does the same. I mean, that's.
Oh, I'm sure they expect to replace them frequently.
Right.
These are pretty delicate, you know.
Yeah,
it's still a really cool program. I mean, it's basically a hardware beta. Is that safe to say?
I wouldn't call it a beta because these are finished products. It's just it's ways to get the word out and. And especially with the 3D vision glasses, you know, to get people, they really are confident about a product. They want people to talk about it.
Yeah, because I don't see a lot of gamers just, you know, giving the 3D goggles a shot in the dark, like if they just see them as an impulse buy or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So having people actually try them out might be a really good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or especially, you know, I think they should do it with video cards too, you know?
Yeah, like it's weird
to see. Oh, I cannot believe the speed bump I got, you know?
Yeah, like it's weird to see the EVGA is like headlining this loaner program, but like the only thing that they're actually letting you use is their motherboard. All the rest of the stuff is like NVIDIA glasses and the Samsung monitor.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I know what I would do though if I was in the program. I would always, before I sent off a a product, I would always stick googly eyes on it. Wouldn't that be awesome? You get a video card and it's got googly eyes. It's you know, looking at you when you open the box.
If that's the worst the person before me did to it, I would be very relieved.
It'd also be a nice, quick, like, hardware test you wouldn't have to have it plugged in. Like, when your video card starts melting, the eyes start melting and it crops.
Oh, yeah. They drip like tears.
You know, I bet that was the problem with the Acer Predator. There were googly eyes in there and they flames.
If the googly eyes are melting, please ship your system back at our expense. That's actually a pretty good idea.
It's like the canary in the coal mine?
Yeah, absolutely. Garage Games officially acquired the rights to Tribes.
Yes.
This is good news, is it not?
It is.
Oh my goodness. It's
wonderful news.
Terribly exciting.
I just love to see like developers, you know, even if it's not the same studio, but like the same lead guys getting the rights to their old games back from developers who were just sitting on them, not using them.
Yeah.
When Relic got Homeworld back, I mean, that's great news, and this is the same kind of thing. It's like, you know, somebody who might actually use it instead of just sitting on it, and they'll use it well.
They're actually going to be releasing through Instant Action a browser-based version of Tribes, which is sort of like the Quake Live Battlefield Heroes approach that is hopefully going to lead to another Star Siege release in the future. Which, you know, if they're acquiring the rights to it, I would assume that's the interest in doing so.
Right, I mean, but this re-release you're talking about is a web-based thing. So I guess you'd go and load it in the browser, just like with Quake Live.
Mm-hmm.
And they have another one on there. What is it called? The one that's like kind of seen as the successor to Tribes. What they were trying
Fallen
to make?
Empire Legions, is it? Or is
right,
it?
Right. Yeah, and like that one. Like I saw a demo of it a while ago, and it looked pretty cool. It looked very Tribes-like, but you know, it doesn't have the name recognition of Tribes. So if they want to get all the Tribes guys back there, they had to actually have the Tribes name. And I guess it was actually the Star Siege license they got back, and Tribes is a subset of Star Siege.
There are some mechs involved in the Star Siege games as well, so if they want to do that too, that's perfectly fine with me. We all love mechs.
People might actually finally get their mech game that we've all been wanting.
Oh,
they're definitely the right folks to do it.
So as someone who really liked Tribes, I've never played like a web-based first-person shooter. Is there like lag issue or any sort of problem, or is this going to be like just as quality of an experience?
It'd be just as good. I mean, I don't know if you've played any Quake Live.
I haven't.
Yeah, I played a little bit in the beta, and it was or like the closed beta earlier, and it was fine. It played exactly like you would expect. I mean, it's working on the same kind of connection that you'd be working on with a you know an application game. A desktop-based game. So it's the only difference is that it's being loaded in a browser.
That's amazing to me still, you know, having remembered the days of 300 baud modems and stuff. So you can do so much, you know, just from a browser now.
Yeah, not all of us remember those days, old man.
Whoa! pull the mic. Damn. Well, you can try it out yourself over at www.instantaction.com. Fallen Empire Legions is up already. Do we have any news on when Tribes might come?
So we're not sure exactly when this is going to be released, but we do know that they're going to be showing it at GDC next week, so we'll be able to ask them then and hopefully report back very soon. So we'll definitely keep you guys updated on any Tribes-based news.
You betcha. If you couldn't wait to play Merchants of Brooklyn, well, you might have gotten a bit of a surprise when you tried it out last Friday, as, oops, the developer accidentally uploaded an alpha to Steam instead of the finished product. So the results were not quite what gamers were anticipating.
More like Merchants of Brooklyn.
I refuse to dignify that.
Score one for the good guys.
Evan won.
Okay, if I had said that, I would have been slashed with razors. I just want to make that point. that was fantastic. Yeah, it was not a pretty scene, apparently. How long was it up there for? At least a day, right?
Yeah, it was at least a day.
And yeah, there were terrible problems with it. Lots of sound issues, saved games that were blown out. Basically the kind of performance you'd expect from alpha, although I'm kind of, amazed that it worked as much as it did. But they did realize what had happened and the finished product is the final game is now available on Steam. So if you thought, oh man, this is crap, you know, fear not. That was just a boo-boo, albeit a kind of colossal one.
Yeah, and that's one of the interesting things about Steam is that like Valve doesn't actually manage these things themselves. They give developers all the tools they need to put their stuff online, so the developers can screw up, and Valve doesn't like police that. Which you know maybe they should, you know, at least like give things a once over before they go up, just to prevent things like this. Because if this kind of thing happens too much, Steam is going to get a reputation as kind of a bad place to go.
I think if Steam or Valve did provide that service, it'd have to be very simple or fast. I mean, there's a lot of complaints for Xbox Live games, Xbox Live Arcade games, for example, that a developer sends it to Microsoft for certification. It takes X amount of weeks for it to even be certified and successfully put up on the service. So,
and then if you tweak it so much as, you know, this much, if you change a word in an intro screen, it has to go through that process all over again.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's a lot of bureaucracy. Whereas I think this is, I really, really badly wanted to try Merchants of Brooklyn.
Have you guys done any previews about Merchants of Brooklyn?
I don't think we have, no. But we are going to be doing the review in the July issue. I think I've got Josh on that.
Great.
Yep.
So, I would have loved to have been in the alpha and just seeing how it works. You know, I don't know. It's like it would be almost like driving a car with no hood on the engine. You know, you get to see kind of how things, you know, look in the alpha stages. We see a lot of previews. It's always fascinating, you know, to look at things before they're finished.
Right, but not when you've paid for a finished game.
No, but it's, again, it's one day. It wouldn't have, you know, these things happen if it was. Yeah, I mean, this it's so rare when you look at how many games have been released on Steam. You know, the quality control is pretty high over there, I'd say.
Well, like I said, there is no quality control.
There is. I mean, sure, they you know, look at, you know, to some extent, they look at the games, but the final product, which just probably has to be uploaded from the other company's end, you know. I'm sure they don't just go, oh, whatever you want to load, you know. Looks good.
I think it is pretty much whatever you want to load, they'll let them do it. I mean, that certainly was the case in with Merchants of Brooklyn. They didn't check to see if it was alpha or final.
They may have checked the final, and then somebody else just accidentally uploaded the alpha.
Right. Yeah. But the point is, like, somebody else is uploading it. Like, Valve isn't, you know, the one that actually flips the switch. Yeah.
But, you know, like Evan said, I'm glad that it's not quite as bureaucratic as Xbox Live, you know, because that's
right.
That's just strangles people.
And I would never advocate, you know, creating a Microsoft-like bureaucracy. And for one thing, that would take a ton of resources that Valve probably doesn't have. But, you know, just a cursory examination, maybe.
Actually, you know what they should do for the guy who uploaded the alpha? They should give him a retention bonus. of $1.7 billion.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, for anybody who hasn't heard of Merchants of Brooklyn, I'm looking at a screenshot where someone's poking someone's eyeball out and it's flying at the screen with a bunch of blood squirting out.
Oh, yeah.
So it looks supposed to be really awesome.
You would play that game.
I want to play that game.
I've been reading a few mixed reactions from it so far. You know, I'm reserving judgment. It does have a kind of cool look to it. You know, it's cel shaded. You know, it looks like a cartoon.
And apparently uses the Cry engine.
It does, yes.
Yeah, it really resembles a Crackdown if you play that on Xbox 360.
No, I didn't.
I don't know if it's safe to call it a first person brawler like Xenoclash, but it's definitely very intimate violence, I guess you could say.
Yeah, there is a lot of hand to hand violence in there. I would say that there's from the trailers I've seen.
Wow. Well, I can't wait to hear more about it. I mean, geez.
Have they gotten back to us on Fish Guns? Yes? No? Merchants Brooklyn? No?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, so it's unconfirmed or they're not there. But we will definitely update you next week on the progress of Fish Guns. In all games, actually, from now on. A little worrisome news in that developer Big Huge Games is apparently in danger of closing. Do I understand that correctly?
Well, I mean, sort of. The sad facts have come out in that THQ owns Big Huge Games, and THQ has kind of fallen on hard times right now, like everybody else. They are looking to sell Big Huge, but they've said that if they can't sell it, then they'd have to close it. Now it's fairly likely that they'll be able to find a buyer rather than closing it down. So, and it's not you know quite doom yet, but it's a possibility that they would close it, which would be very sad.
My business sense is not too good, but if they were to close Big Huge Games, THQ would still own Rise of Nations, the franchise?
Yes. They would own...
So ostensibly they could keep producing games in that franchise, right?
They could, yeah.
It just wouldn't be by Big Huge, which would suck.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Who actually published Rise of Nations? I'm not sure about that. Rise of Nations.
Okay.
Let's see. Okay, I've got it here. It was published by Microsoft, so I'm not sure who owns those rights.
Okay. I do note that, however, that Big Huge is also located in Timonium, Maryland, which sounds pretty intense.
Right.
I grew up in Timonium.
The city made of one mineral.
Yeah, I know. I grew up in Timonium, something like that.
Reminds me of Tiberian from Red Alert.
Yeah.
What confuses me about all these studio closures is like the studios that are owned by publishers. Why I don't see why they close them instead of just letting them like spin off independently. Because the talent are just going to go off and form another studio, which you know will start working on a cool game, and then the publishers will buy them again. It doesn't seem like it makes any. I mean, I'm obviously not a businessman. I don't know the intricacies of it. But it, like, and like Peter Molyneux, for example, you know, he was at Bullfrog. EA bought them. Then he left and created Lionhead, which then Microsoft bought. You know, another example would be, since that's not exactly the same, but another example would be Ensemble, or however you want to pronounce it. They were, you know, bought by Microsoft, dissolved, and now three different studios have been founded by Ensemble crew. So it's like, and those guys will start working on games and probably get bought. I don't understand why they don't just let the studio kind of, you know, go if they don't want to pay the salary anymore. You know, let them go their own way. Let them keep the name. I mean, the name will just go away, and that brand that people are. You know, attached to and have accepted and you know expect a certain amount of quality from, that brand just dies. I don't get it.
I can't begin to understand that myself.
Yeah, I mean, just from a marketing perspective, they're throwing away like an awesome brand.
Yeah.
So,
THQ is gearing up to do lots and lots of cutting. They want to cut apparently a quarter of their workforce.
Right.
Ouch. Yeah. But like you said, you know, I mean, they will, you know, it's very likely they'll just become a competitor, you know. It's like I know that Savannah, Georgia have been wooing game developers with offers of free office space if they start up development in Georgia.
There's a lot of states that are doing that now, trying to attract business. It's mm-hmm. you know, some of them have provisions in there where they say you can't make an M-rated game and still get the benefits, which is kind of dumb.
That's funny.
But you know, they don't want to be associated with violent video games.
Yeah, I don't know if we can put it in this perspective, but maybe THQ thought because they own Relic, they already have like a strong strategy. I don't know, house. So
right. I mean, yeah. Relic is you know one of the best. You know, RTS developers out there. So mm-hmm. it could be said that Big Huge is redundant. I mean, and they haven't really done a whole lot lately, have they? I mean,
they did Catan and Xbox Live. That's the last one I remember.
Right, and they did the Asian Dynasties for Age of Empires 3.
Yeah, so, which is really good. Admittedly, it was great.
Yeah, but yeah, they haven't done a whole lot. Like they didn't have a 2008 release.
Yeah, this I guess news they were, piece.
Yeah, they were working on an RPG,
yeah, and a Wii title,
and the RPG may transfer with the studio if it's bought by somebody else. So we may yet get to see that.
So hopefully, Big Huge Games will be okay. I did it. Yes. Oh wait, I just spoiled it. Sorry. No, but we can still run that. I mean, yeah. Hopefully, Big Huge will be okay. I'm just congratulating myself. I had a hard time with that one. Last week, we asked for your finest Red Alert moments. And boy, did we get a fine Red Alert moment. Evan, do you want to cue this vivacious listener up, please?
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks so much for everybody that submitted responses for our giveaway of Red Alert Uprising. We did get an awesome entry from Liam Capel, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, up in Canada, and we'll play that for you.
Hey guys, it's Liam from Ottawa, Canada, and my favorite CNC memory was back in the Red Alert days. I was 10 years old, and my cousin and I would make these custom maps for land play, and we'd line the enemy beaches with pillboxes and turrets, and it was our job to punch through, and we'd even use the squad numbering command on individual soldiers to indicate like real life friends, so we could see which of us had survived the beach assault at the end. It sounds a little bit silly now, but I thought it was cool. Those emergent gameplay moments I remember best. Inventing these scenarios well before Medal of Honor came along and gave us that cinematic D-Day. Anyway, that's my fondest memory. Love the podcast. Bye.
That is pretty awesome.
I really love the idea of. I don't know if it like wrote down on paper, like assigning like number one, this is my friend Michael. Number two, this is Catherine. Number three, this is my math teacher. We'll see who makes out a lot.
Now, I know I'm the only person here who's ever played XCOM, but I'm going to make all you guys play it very soon. That is one of the real joys of that game is you get to rename your squad mates.
Well, it's like the Oregon Trail scenario, right? Like you said, you dodge from Centauri first.
And, yeah.
It's just that's one of the things I love about PC gaming most, just those kinds of user-created moments that, I mean, especially in those older games where you, like you said, use that to create a cinematic situation that you can imagine and play with. And
plus, when your friends die, you hear the adagio for strings in your head. Oh. You're like, no!
Saddest song ever. Yeah. That was in Homeworld, too. I love it.
I'm telling you, with XCOM was the best implementation of that ever.
Whenever I play a sports game, I always name the team
as
my friends and spend a lot of time customizing their like skills to represent their personalities. It's kind of...
Yeah, that's why I loved NHL. I would have my whole team, like all my friends and stuff.
Same here. Anyway.
You never just make up names, like, you know?
I mean, I have like Darth Vader in there or something.
Sigismund or, you know?
Sure.
All right.
Anyway, so thanks so much for everybody that sent responses in. Congratulations.
Keep them coming.
Yeah, please do. Please do. Congratulations to Liam. I will be emailing you later today with your download code for Red Alert Uprising.
You can call in your favorite moments at 877-404-1337 at extension 724. Let's go ahead and take some questions now from our fantastic PC Gamer podcast audience.
Hey there, PCG. This is Mervyn Bunter. Well, I finally did it. I am officially boycotting GameStop. I know it's not going to affect their company at all, but when a local GameStop just finally decided to stop selling PC games altogether, I decided there's better places to spend my money. Of course, I'm probably going to cave as soon as I want a game that isn't available through digital distribution. So I had a question for you. Do you have any suggestions as to where I can go to buy boxed games? And have you ever been so livid with a game publisher or developer or a retail outlet that you decided, however briefly, to boycott it? And if so, is the boycott still in effect, or did you give up? I expect Logan or Gary Whitta probably have some great boycott stories to tell. Have a great day. Thank you very much.
Well, I mean, if you want box copies, just go to Amazon, you know, or you know, any online retailer. I mean, I guess you could get them from Walmart.com or anything like that, if you provided you're not boycotting Walmart.
Best Buy is a good one too.
Yeah, yeah, and you can go online and order games from anywhere. So that's not that big a problem if you really want the box copy.
Do you guys have a boycott against your local GameStops at all?
Yeah, I have nothing to do with those pimply faced creeps.
Yeah, I stay out of mine too. There's like a small little market. There's like a whole chain of stores that have electronic sections that they actually have a really good gaming section. I go to there, and so I feel good going there because they have like a PC section.
I play XCOM. I name them all after GameStop employees, and I let them all kill each other.
I don't think I've ever actually purchased anything from a GameStop or an EB, mostly because when I was growing up, there wasn't one really close to me. I was shopping at Fry's a lot, which is, I guess, mostly a California chain, although they're online now at Fry's.com. That's another place you could order a box copy from if you wanted.
You know, the last time I went to a GameStop was, I had to. I was ordered to by Greg Viderman because Atari wouldn't send us a copy of Alone in the Dark.
I wonder why. So we had to run out and buy it ourselves. And I went to a GameStop and they're like, oh yeah, we got it. I mean, I asked if they had it and he's like, yeah, we got it. But he doesn't like get it. No, I mean, I want to buy it. And he's like, oh, okay. And so he goes and he gets the game and he gives it to me. And yeah, I give him my card and all that. And then he kind of pauses like halfway through and he's like, oh, the key. Oh, yeah, you need a key. And he goes back and they pulled out the stickers or something and put them all on one piece of paper and he peels. It was just really weird. And I was like 30 seconds away from having walked out without the key in the box, you know. I don't know why they pulled them out, but it was just really freaky.
Well, they don't want people shoplifting them.
Yeah, but the box was behind the counter. It was weird. You know, yeah, maybe they had just finished like processing them or whatever before they were putting the boxes out.
Yeah, and actually one website I can recommend to our friend Mervin is goozex.com, GOOZEX.com.
Isn't that like a rental thing?
It's not a rental, actually. It's sort of a community/service for trading games with other members. And the way I understand it, I haven't used it myself, but I've had friends that have used it. You essentially sort of build a library through your profile of games you've beaten and want to trade. You trade those games in to earn points. I don't know if you send them to their service or you deal with users directly. And then you sort of use that internal currency to get games that other people have up for trade. So it's probably a pretty good way of tracking down box copies of games. And you only have to pay $1 per game you receive to GooseX itself. So
that's pretty awesome. Plus, you know, if you love a game, you can keep it. You know, it's not like you're renting it. You don't have to trade it again. You know, it's yours. And I'd love to trade like five games that I'll never play again for one that I love and I'll play over and over again. That's no problem.
And I'd much honestly rather deal with people that are enthusiasts rather than eBay power sellers, which jack up their shipping rates and things like that. Like, eBay is just populated. I mean, like, if you look for classic PC games, it's rare that you're actually dealing with someone that is sort of putting up a game that they loved and I don't know how to express it.
Just dealing with these freaks and all they want, you know, in and out, just, you know, don't bother me again, blah, 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 blah. You'll get it when you get it. Another trading service is SwapTree, which does the same things with books, DVDs, PC games.
What?
Okay, I didn't laugh. And there's actually no fee for that one, too. So, but I don't know if there's more, you know, subscribers. So you can check them both out. See which one you like. Because, yeah, it's just a great way to make sure that, you know, the games that you own are just the ones that you love the most. But I agree with everyone else. I, you know, buy tons of games off Amazon.
So have you guys boycotted any game publishers?
Publishers? No.
Not publishers, but I won't go to GameStop. Unless, you know, I'm ordered to.
Yeah, I haven't really boycotted GameStop. It's just like there's no reason for me to go, so I never do.
Right.
I don't have anything against them.
I don't think I've ever boycotted a publisher. I mean, I like, if somebody's going to publish a game I like, then I'll buy it from you. It doesn't really matter to me where they're from. Unless they've done something really egregious, which I don't know. I can't recall ever being burned that badly. But I do have like an over a decade long boycott of McDonald's going, so that's going well.
That is impressive.
Keep it alive.
Yeah, it's like 15 years since I've eaten at McDonald's.
Is that true?
That's absolutely swear, true.
But not their subsidiaries.
Well, yeah, I've eaten at like Chipotle.
Totally busted Dan Stapleton right there.
I guess it's not a subsidiary. It's like owned in. By the same company that has like stakes in a lot of people, including.
And when
McDonald's.
You walk out of Chipotle, Ronald McDonald is laughing. He's doubling over,
grimacing. The Hamburglar is hamburgling. I was the Hamburglar once for Halloween. Best Halloween ever.
Whoa, that is fantastic. That was a great move.
You know, did anyone put that picture?
Anyone throw a hamburger in your bag?
Actually, I did go to McDonald's and they gave me a milkshake for free, and everybody was laughing. It was very awkward.
And you're like, I'm not the milkshake burglar. Fixed it.
Throw it back in their face.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be great if you dressed up as a hamburger and you went in there with a shotgun.
Yeah, and robbed the place.
He goes, this is not a joke.
And they start giving you the money. You're like, no, no, no. Hamburgers.
You know, actually, I probably would go to GameStop.
That's a short film right there in the making.
To buy used games for consoles, if I was a console person, and I'm not. But I'm actually glad that they don't sell used PC games anymore, because the dealing with them, you have no idea if you're going to – the code's been used. It's just more than a big chain like that can be expected to deal with well.
Yeah, I mean, with their policies, exactly. Like, that's why GooseX and the other website you recommend seems like a good alternative. When you're invested in a community of people that are hopefully, you know, enthusiastic and care about PC games and their own games, you know, they'll be more likely to help you out.
Exactly.
I mean, I'd be kind of worried about that kind of service, just because, at least with newer games, because they do, a lot of them do use activation, and you might get the game and find that you can't use it because it's been activated too many times.
Which is true. However, you know, like Evan said, because you're dealing with enthusiasts, there's a slight chance that, you know, that you're dealing with people who are from, you know about those issues and are fairly assured that it'll work. You know, there's just a slightly better chance.
Well, there's a you know, reasonably sized overlap between enthusiasts and assholes. So
in the Venn diagram.
Yes. Venn diagram.
Right.
Just spend 10 minutes in an MMO and you know that.
Yeah.
Right. So that doesn't make me all that much more secure.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
We did get an interesting question about Darkest of Days.
Hey, PC Gamer. This is Matt from West Virginia, and I was just curious about the status of Darkest of Days. The last update on their website was from, I think, summer 2008. Thanks.
What a good voice.
Funny you should ask. Evan. Evan knows lots about Darkest of Days.
Because I'm such a gentleman, after hearing his question, loaded up Darkest of Days, played a little bit of it, and I even emailed their PR representative just to get some information for you, Matthew.
So we do it all for you.
We really do. So if you're not familiar with the game, it's sort of from a lesser-known developer called...
I don't think they've even done it. This is their first game, isn't it?
We're called 8 Monkey Labs. It's their first game. So if you're not familiar with Darkest of Days, it's a little bit of a lesser-known game at this point. Like our friend Matthew mentioned, they haven't updated their website, darkestofdays.com, since June of 08. But it's still coming out. We're told it's coming out in late spring or fall of this year.
We actually did the announcement on that game a while back, like probably about a year and a half ago.
That's right. That was in our gun show issue, right after the Red Alert issue, I think.
Was it that recently? I think there might have been something before that. Now, we'll look it up later, but I know we did the first announcement on that game. And it has an interesting concept.
Yeah, you're basically a soldier in the late 1800s, and as you're about to die, you're sort of...
In the Civil War.
In the Civil War, yes. You're taken through this time warp into the future. You're saved by this sort of corporate entity that uses time travel technology to save people and sort of control the future in a positive way, or so you think. And it's a first-person shooter. You're traveling these different time periods, World War One and the Civil War and Pompeii, I guess. And the best thing I can say about it after playing it for about 20 minutes is... You get to bring futuristic assault rifles into the Civil War and shoot people. So,
awesome.
I think if I remember the initial story right, like there are two competing organizations trying to influence the timeline, right. and so you're working for one of them, and you know you may work for the other one later. Hinted that there's some treachery going on. You know, you're going to crucial points in history, like the darkest days of humanity, and influencing the outcome.
Right, and shooting a lot of people to even the odds, very unethically.
This is how heroic our editor Evan Lottie is. He got shot in the nuts and kept fighting
with an arrow.
With an arrow, right in the cojones, in the family jewels, and he was bleeding all over his. Yeah. You know, bathing suit area, and kept fighting, sitting up. It was amazing.
Well, Evan, was that your character, or was that somebody else?
That was my character, Alexander Morris. Yes, that's like one of the introductory scenes. You're on this sort of plane, and there's a lot of Native American soldiers coming at you on horseback. There's actually a ton of them. It's really kind of interesting, and just the animation, the scripting happening there, and you're sort of firing, like you're in-capped, sort of Left 4 Dead style, and firing your revolver off at him and trying to survive. And that's when you get rescued. So. Yeah, we're looking forward to learning more about the game, and it looks kind of interesting. It looks like if you played a Call of Juarez, just that kind of like that style of storytelling that's kind of B-movie like, and I kind of like that style of games. It's refreshing every once in a while, so look forward to
the Yeah, looking over Evan's shoulder at it, it looked pretty cool, and just from a first impression. Cool. I mean, the animations of the Native American warriors on horseback was really cool. Character models weren't like, you know, Crisis level, but you know, they were pretty good, and the environments looked really good. So, and one thing I noticed about it was there was like no interface at all, no UI. No. Health meter or anything that could change later in the game, but it could. But for the introductory scene, it looked like they were going for a very immersive feel.
Yeah, you get the kind of like Far Cry 2 style hold up map. If it's like Call of Juarez without any bullwhip based platforming, I'll be happy. If you remember that, because yeah, that was so ridiculous. Like you'd have to crack your whip onto like tree branches and swing across ledges, and oh man.
Huh? In concept, that sounds cool, but. I guess the execution. I never played through that one, so yeah, the execution may have been flawed.
It worked in Pitfall.
Anyway, it tore my heart up to see Evan lying there like that and still fighting it out. But I don't know how your fiance feels about it, but oof.
She's crushed.
Yeah, I'll bet. Let's take another question.
Hello, PC Gamer. This is Canoe from Waterloo, Ontario, the home of the BlackBerry. Just had a question, wondering if you guys have some insight into retail PC game sales. Why stores don't discount the cost on some games for 2-3 years after they've come out? You can go out and get new games like the new Red Alert that just came out last year in the fall, and it's under $30. And you can see other games that are over 2 years old, and they haven't been discounted at all. Is there any reason why this happens, or is it just the lack of understanding from the retail companies, or they don't care because PC games just aren't making a lot of money for them, and it's all about the consoles? Second quick question, if you could go through any PC game franchise in the past and you could be a character in a game, which character would you identify with, or which character would you want to be? Thanks, guys. Keep up the great work.
Well, I think for the first part, it's probably because they're still selling a bunch of them at that price, would be my guess. It's like, why lower the price if you're making money off of it and so they're selling well?
Yeah, I mean,
I know, like Call of Duty 4, you still can't get that for less than $50 here.
Yeah.
Although I was talking to one of our UK editors, and he was saying that that you can get it for less over there, which is interesting, but unfair, I might say. But yeah, like meanwhile, other games are you know, steeply discounted after just a few months out. So it's arbitrary. You know, I don't know. I'm not sure if that decision is made at the publisher level or the retailer level. But yeah, I'm guessing it's got to do with you know, if it's selling well, why discount it?
I think it's because they're dumb.
Yeah, in a lot of cases, like you go into Circuit City and you see just disparities that make no sense. I mean, I haven't been in one in a while, so I can't really mention one specifically, but when I used to go in a store...
You won't be in a Super City in any time in the future either.
Indeed, they're gone for good, thank goodness. It's a lack of awareness on the retailer's part, like just how they price things and how quick they are to mark things down when, you know, games that like you said, have been out for a while, like the Battle Chest from Blizzard and whatnot, are still priced $30-$40 for no good reason.
Well, you know, I doubt that it's a lack of awareness on their part, because you know, it's these guys' business to you know, sell products. that's like all they do. So I think they're fairly aware of it, and the fact that these games are still highly priced is probably because they're still highly demanded. You know, it's probably not as arbitrary as we would think.
I disagree. I mean, people, you see stores doing boneheaded things all the time, and you know, just like Valve, you know, they show everybody, publishers, hey, you know what, we discounted a game 50%. We didn't see double the sales. We saw, you know,
3,000%.
Yeah, you know, they're like, this is way more than we expected because they tried. You know, they put a little effort out there, and I don't think you see that in the retail climate these days, even though, you know, you ought to be seeing it more now than ever.
They have crazy sales all the time, but I think that a lot of that decision probably does happen on the publisher side. I'm not certain. I know the publisher sets the MSRP, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, that's what the retailers typically sell for. So I'm guessing it's you know, as much the publisher's call as the retailers, unless the retailer is trying to liquidate inventory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there are some mistakes, because I've actually been following game prices online for about a month and a half now, trying to see, you know, when they drop. And Walmart, for whatever reason, has the Fallout 3 on PC listed as more expensive than the consoles. It's like $60.
Yeah, that's got to be an error.
Yeah, and it's been like that for over a month, so it's like I would believe that they aren't entirely paying attention to this stuff. Someone said it at the beginning, and they just kind of leave it.
Right. Well, and that could just be an online thing too. I bet if you go into a Walmart and try and buy Fallout 3 for the PC, it would be $50.
Yeah, it's possible, but I mean, you'd think the prices would change with the online store and the retail stores.
Not necessarily. I mean, a lot of that stuff is done like independently. In fact, Walmart.com, their office building is in our office park here. It's just next to where we get lunch from sometimes. So
I should go over and let them know their prices are messed up then.
Yeah, go shake a fist at their window.
throw a rock through it.
But what I really want to know, Dan, is what character do you identify with most?
I'll answer last.
No, I believe I asked you first. Come on. Oh, it's one that wears a cape, isn't it?
No, game character. I don't know. I mean, so often games are trying to or at least the kind of games I like to play are trying to let you adapt the character to yourself. I know. Like at least for example in RTSs, the character that you play as is not like generally set. It's you playing as somebody else, or it's somebody else. I'm saying that wrong. They're trying to let you imagine that you're the one there, not that you are another character. And in a lot of first person shooters, they do that too. I mean, like Gordon Freeman, for example, doesn't really have a personality so much because they're trying to allow you to put yourself in his shoes. So yeah, I don't really have a whole lot of characters that I would like to be.
I like the pig from Beyond Good and Evil, Paige.
You would.
I totally identified with him and his jet boots. I just thought that was the most awesome thing anybody could have ever. And he was like, he was full of good humor and he's kind of an optimistic dude. And I may have teared up during a moment during the game as a result of being separated from Paige the Pig. That's as much as I'm going to say on the topic because people are shaking their heads in a derisive fashion.
The first time you cried over a pig, though, right? Probably not.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about that. Josh, you were saying that you had a...
Yes. Something. I would definitely go with Guybrush Threepwood.
Damn it. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Because he's so goofy, kind of awkward. I can dig pirates, too. He's kind of fun-loving. I like it.
Well, I think we know Andy's.
Yeah.
Well, Taylor, what's your take on him?
I just love how he like really, really wants to be a pirate no matter what, even though it's like not cut out. He's like not cut out for it in the scraggly, like scruffy sort of way. But he just goes for it anyway and becomes like the best pirate ever through like circumstances.
Total accident. Yes.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like that's how my life goes a lot of the time.
Nice.
I got a third Duke Nukem in this equation, even though he's kind of significantly opposite from my personality.
Oh, fuck. Oh, Lord.
At the same time, like throughout all those games, like all the you think of all the crazy, you know what he encounters in all those games, like flying pigs and all these ridiculous aliens and lizard men and whatnot. And like the most he gets, like his tone of voice, which is kind of like why I would want to be him because his voice is so cool. He has all these cool quotes and cool things to say. It's like the most he gets at all this stuff he has to encounter is just like annoyed. He never gets like angry or scared or upset. He's just kind of like, oh man. Oh shit! And so on. I don't know.
So are you? Do I have this correctly that you would shoot a pig?
Yes, a flying pig.
Like a pig with jet boots? Maybe.
That's the implication. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if
it's on, it's on. Editor versus editor.
If you hand me a microwave emitter, I will do what I have to do. And if it makes you feel better, those pigs are actually mutated LAPD cops. So.
Not sure that it does. Not sure that it does.
Repeat the game. and don't be a gamer.
It's time for our siesta here at PC Gamer. So before we go, let's talk playlists. What are you up to this week, Dan?
I've been playing. I just played Fallout 3: The Pit for review, which is way better than Operation Anchorage. I'm going to say that right now. I've also been playing some more Sins of a Solar Empire Entrenchment. There's a mod out now that in Sins of a Solar Empire, the ships just kind of sit there and shoot at each other, and there's a very good reason for that, is in that if they were all flying around like you would kind of expect in Star Trek or Star Wars, if they're all flying around maneuvering, it's a total mess. You can't really control anything. But there's a mod now that lets people turn that on. So ships are flying around, kind of dogfighting. It's a total mess, but it's awesome. So it doesn't make it more playable, but it makes it fun to watch. It's called I think Man Shooters Battle Mod. You can find it on the Sins of a Solar Empire modding forums. That's about it for me.
And how about you, Evan?
I've been enjoying the scout update for TF2. I've only unlocked and completely legitimately, I might add, one of the weapons, the Force of Nature, which I've been enjoying. So I'm putting some time into that, and I just installed a preview build of Sims 3 last night. So gonna see how that's looking when I get home today and this weekend.
Mr. Bauman, how about you?
I've been wasting my time at work by playing Peggle Knights. I'm still trying to finish the challenges because they are like the level they provide you to get a million points in three levels in a row is like worst levels to get points on, and I also am traveling through the underbelly of Mexico trying to find the Norse ruins of the whatever Tomb Raider stuff is going on. The story's really weird.
Oh yeah,
and working on my goggle tan in the final months of the ski season. So there you go.
Have you gotten to the part with the giant court, the Mexican court?
Yeah, that was rad.
Oh yeah,
and you drive your motorcycle down.
Yeah.
No, totally
badass.
Which
is totally what I really would do if I was there with the motorcycle.
Yeah.
How about you, Mr. Augustine?
Been playing a lot of World of Warcraft. Got my Protection Paladin up to 80, and so I've been tanking some raids with that. That's been fun.
Nerd. Also been... Sorry.
Hey, I tried to keep that short at least. And Red Alert 3 Uprising, those challenges are tough. So I've been working on those, trying to get my skill up so I can beat those.
Would you say they're challenging?
I would. How appropriate.
Yes.
Well, I may have received a copy of Peggle on the DS. So that may have taken a little bit of time out of my week. But tonight I'm coming back into the fold with Merchants of Brooklyn. For some reason, there's just something about it. Maybe it's the eyeballs coming at you.
Yes, I think that
which really
be it.
Gets me. Yeah.
Now, why would you replay Peggle on the DS just because it's on the DS? I mean, I would understand if you're on the road and away from your computer.
You know, it's actually different. It's got added levels of strategy. Now, if you hit the purple pegs like four times, you go into a special gem collecting mode. So you have to decide, do I want to clear all the Peggles or do I want to hit the purple peg a certain number of times so I can get in the gem collecting mode?
You're hurting Dan with your words.
This is why for some reason I never learn not to ask questions about Peggle because they will be answered.
Yes, they will.
That's why. And it's just like, you know? It's like going back to like one of the most beautiful cities we've ever visited and realizing, oh my god, it's cooler.
Dan, Peggle has all the answers.
Right.
It really does. So, enough of that. Now I want to see brains, and I want to see a hair sticking to the walls. Probably should not have said that last part. This is Logan Decker, your podcast host, and I'm giving you a direct order to send us your questions in MP3 format to PCGamerPodcast@gmail.com. That's PCGamerPodcast@gmail.com, or just call us toll-free at 877-404-1337 at extension 724, and record your question there and keep it short and clean, or we'll wash out your email with soap and water. You can also subscribe to our awesome magazine by heading over to PCGamer.com and, Trust us, you can't miss the subscription. We're also looking for gamers who crave instant fame by having their awesome screenshots and photos of their rigs and gaming setups printed in their magazine. Send them to letters at pcgamer.com, and you just might see your handiwork in the PC Gamer letters section read the entire world over. For the PC Gamer podcast crew, this is a rock legend, Logan Decker, saying thanks for listening, and we're looking forward to getting together with all of you again next week. Well, hopefully Big Huge Games will be safe for the time being.
You want to do that again?
Yeah. Thank you. Hi. Okay. Well, hopefully Big Huge God,
third tries the charm.
Big Huge.
Who is this Big Hugh?
Big Hugh.
Say BHG. I don't know.
And, hey guys, it's Liam from Ottawa.
Oh, sorry.
I totally f***ed that cue up, didn't I?
No, it's okay.
Let's try it again. I want to make the Monkey Island movie, like, for real. That's like my goal in life.
Oh, I know! I was so bummed when Pirates of the Caribbean came out, because I was like, oh.
Yeah, because then
like,
if you make
cool
a Monkey Island
Monkey
movie,
Island.
It would be like ripping off that movie.
Yeah,
but still,
it's like the ghost pirate, all this stuff. Come on.
Like, you just need to give it some time. And then, like, just boom, Monkey Island. Everybody will be like, holy crap, this is the best movie ever.
Seriously, I always wanted... Have you seen the YouTube clips of the guy who made
like
a Monkey
musical?
Island? Like, yeah, for his school.
Yeah.
So good.
Genius.